for me to prepare, but there were some things that I could myself could take and learn from. First letter to Timothy, and I want to share with you, and I want that God would bless his word to you. Father, I pray that you'll be present among us, that you'll speak to us through your word, that you'll open our hearts, our minds to receive your truth, and to help us just to understand your word, just as it was written before, that we would understand the time in which we live in, that we'll understand the dangers that we face, and that we'll understand that we'll test ourselves where we stand. Father, I pray for your help, for your support, and that you'll be with us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a time when there is a lot of confusion in regards to all areas of life, and especially in regards in what we believe. It seems that there is so much opposition, that there is nothing to believe on. We live in a postmodern time when people say that there is a certain truth, but it might be true for you and not for me. How can we know what is true and what is false? The fundamental teaching of the Bible is criticized and questioned. People say, yes, there are some things that you can learn, but you cannot take the Bible as the foundation of our belief because there are some mistakes and it doesn't, historical things that you just cannot rely on it. There's a mixture of all kind of ideas coming into the church. There's all kind of philosophy from East and West. In our time, we see that there's all kind of practices coming as well, and people don't know how to test them. They don't know what is right and what is false. How can we test them? How can we be sure that what we believe is true? But when we read the Bible, when we read the first letter to Timothy on Paul's writing, we see that the situation was not much easier, that it was not much different. The people as well were facing different cultural collision. There was a Jewish tradition, there was a Greek philosophy, there was a Roman idol worship, and it was somehow mixed together, and people were just some obeying the Old Testament, some more on the New Testament, and people were confused and were asking, what is the right thing to believe? What is true and what is false? How can we be sure that the biblical doctrine, what we read, what we hear on in the church, when we hear the preaching, how can we be sure that that is the word of God and not mixed with some other ideas that you don't know from where they come from? That is why Paul devotes his letter to Timothy, that to help him, that to support him, that he would just teach the church in Ephesus, that he would just protect the church from those who teach false doctrine. And we just see how Paul, how he strongly believes that the preaching, the word of God, that is the only method how can you find out what is true and what is false. That's why Paul instructs Timothy that he should devote himself, his life, to study the Bible, to study the word of God. And he should preach and teach that what he finds in the Bible. In 1 Timothy 4:16, he writes, "Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." You have to dig deeply. You have to understand what the Bible, what the spirit of the Bible is, and that you'll know what is right and what is wrong. There was a banker who could straight away find out what are the fake money. And he was asked how he could do. Nowadays, there's lots of machines that they do this job. And before that, they just had to take in their hand and feel and tell and to say whether it's true or fake money. And he could find out straight away what is fake. And he was asked, how could he do that? He said, well, most of the time I spent with originals, with right money. And I know how they feel. I know how they look like. I know how they smell. I know everything about them. And when I find just one of them that is fake, then I can see straight away that it's not original. And that is what Paul wants Timothy to do, that he should study the Bible, that he should know what is the original, what the Bible tells, and then he should know from where it comes from. It comes from God. The truth, the word, the sound doctrine comes from God. And you know so good who God is. And when it comes from somewhere else, then you'll find straight away that there is something peculiar about it. There is something strange about it. You'll find it out. That's why Paul wants that Timothy would study the Bible, that take into account, persevere in it, and he'll do good to himself and to his hearers. And Paul gives instruction to Timothy that he should stay in Ephesus and teach the church and protect the church from those who preach false gospel. Paul wants that Timothy will see a complete picture of the church, of how it works, of how it is. It is God's project, and God wants to feed the church himself through his word. And he should see himself just as a minister, as a servant who is bringing God's word to the church. It's his project. And we are, who is preaching, we have to admit that we are just simple servants who bring God's word, who explain the word of God and bring it further to the church. And God's building his church. He builds up the body of Christ through his word. A sound doctrine, a right teaching, is something like a healthy food. It may be always desirable and tasty, but it does good to our souls. It opens us who we are. It tells us about God, who he is. It just tells us the real situation. Once we are spoiled with the junk food and so on, it will not know how does the maybe some healthy food taste, like broccoli or maybe cooked potatoes, English food, or some other things that are healthy. Once we go to a false teaching, maybe it from the first time it sounds good, we feel good about it. But in reality, it doesn't touch our deepest need. It's just for a moment when we hear it, yes, it's about our self-esteem. Yes, it's good, we are good. It's all good about us. But what does it do to our eternal souls? Before we go any deeply into this text, it's 1 Timothy. Let us read first this text. It's 1 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 1 to 7. To 11, sorry. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, not to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. This promotes controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from this and turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they're talking about or what they so confidently affirm. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know the law is made for the righteous, not for the righteous, but for the lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and the religious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for adulterers and perverts, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which he entrusted to me. We have to see first the situation in which Paul writes this letter. We need to see first the background of the church in Ephesus. It was at the beginning, it was a faithful church, it was a very good church. There were many elders and they were standing firmly on the word of God. And Paul was showing as well that there should be love among them too. There should be, like, from the two sides. Of one side, there should be the word of God, the truth. On the other hand, there should be love towards God and each other. So they had a good beginning. Paul spent a few years there in Ephesus. And in the book of Acts 20, we read that Paul went to Ephesus to visit elders. And he warned them. He showed them first their his own example, the life that he lived among them. And then he warned them that the time will come when the false teachers would come and they'll not spare the flock. You have to be on your guard. The time will come. And sadly, in 5 or 10 years, their false teachers came. And Paul's prediction came true. And he writes in verse 3, "As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer." People were coming into the church. People were converting themselves there from their heathen background, who worship idols, people who knew Greek philosophy, people who had some Jewish origin, and they were coming into the church and they were bringing their as well background, their ideas, and mixing up with the gospel. Maybe they were good speakers and they could speak well to the people and they could hear and they would like praise and people would be just adored and feel good about it. But they didn't know really the word of God, and the problems started. Paul writes in chapter 2, 17, "Their teaching will spread like gangrene, who have wandered away from the truth." It's like disease. Their teaching will spread and do damage to the church. So that is the situation in which Paul writes his letter. It's vitally important, and Timothy should take it into account. But it speaks as well to us in our time. As we have new people who come and teach, yes, it's good, and we give thanks to God for the opportunity that new people are coming and preaching the word of God. But we need to test them. We need to know whether it comes from God and whether it does good to the church, whether it feeds the church, or it does harm to the church. Paul starts that chapter and tells that God calls himself those servants that he wants them to preach and teach the church. He calls the man for various ministries. God has called Paul to be an apostle. Timothy was his son in faith who believed in God and spent most of the time with Paul, learning from him and studying how to preach the word of God. So they have to be devoted to the word of God. And in the beginning, Paul wants to affirm apostles to say that what we are saying to the church, we have authority to say that. Jesus Christ himself has called apostles. And apostles are the foundation for the church. This letter Paul writes to Timothy, but as well he is aware that this letter would be read in the church. And so he addresses the church too. And they need to know that he has a right, that Jesus Christ himself called him for the ministry. And he is now sends Timothy to preach the word of God. How can we know whether it's the right preacher, whether a preacher is right to preach, has right? How can we know who is called by God? We need to test. We need to spend the time with the people. We need to know how they live and what they teach, whether it's true or not. Then Paul writes, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. God has many blessings to give to the church. He has grace, he has mercy, he has peace, he has everything for the church that the church would grow and flourish and bring fruit and be strong and healthy. But the problem is that there may be someone who is standing and does not give this blessing to the church. They just mix it up with some other ideas and bring something different to the church. God has mercy, God has peace and everything what we need. And Timothy should preach it to the church. And after greeting Timothy, Paul moves straight away to the problems that is in the church, addressing the false teachers and the false teaching. A sound doctrine is very important for the church. It's vital. And Paul sees what can happen if somebody would not teach that. Paul realizes that that is quite important. That is the foundation for the church. And on this doctrine, the church can stand or fall. In later chapter 3:15, Paul writes, God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. The church is God's household. God looks after the church. God wants to work through the church in this world, and the church is the pillar and foundation of the truth. And if the church does not have any truth any longer, then it cannot be a salt. It cannot affect the world in which it is. So we see that Paul see how important it is. And we have to see this importance as well. We have to bring it in prayer. We have to ask what is the right thing to do for us as the church. How can we support those who are preaching and teaching? Do we see this urgency, importance, as in the same way as Paul sees? Yes, it is important to be tolerant, to be polite, to be nice to people, to see everyone on the same level. But when it comes to the point that it does harm to the church, we have to be alert. And we have to make a clear cut. And we have to fight against teaching that is not from the Bible. We need to know those people who is teaching and preaching in the church. That to be alert, that to know their life, because it will affect church. Maybe not straight away, maybe not within months, but within years and in the future. Who are these false teachers? Timothy's primary task was that to charge certain people not to preach, not to teach certain doctrine. That is the reason why he should stay in Ephesus, that the false teachers would not come and preach the word of God. In verse 7, Paul says, who think of themselves as the teachers of the law, but they are teaching false doctrine. There it seems as those who teach false doctrine, that they are coming from the Jewish tradition. They want to present themselves as the teachers, but they teach false doctrine. They teach about the law and tradition. And there were as well some other false teachers who are teaching that the resurrection has already taken place. How can it be that some people say that Jesus has already appeared and took his church? How can you explain it to the church? How can you bring this to the church? Paul sees that it does harm. It's serious. And he urges Timothy to fight against it. The false doctrine, false teaching, is not always as obvious as heresy that you can straight away define and say that is not real, that is not true. It's mixing up with the original, with the Bible, and presents itself in the way that people would accept and like it and believe in it. But how can we see that it's not true? And then Paul tells us what is the nature of the false teaching. That they promoted certain myths and certain ideas, genealogies, that claimed to be on the law but were not really rooted in it. That the teaching that they were bringing were just bringing some speculations, bringing controversy about certain facts that happened in the history. That people were discussing about it, that people were just not occupying themselves with that what is important. They were occupying with the secondary things about certain facts, about the myths that never happened. And in this way, they were distorting the truth. And when they're mixing up everything together, then the people would not know what is now important, what is really vital for us to believe. We have to avoid the speculation that undermines the eternal truth and that bring no good results to the church. A clear characteristic of the false teaching that it's not building up the body of Jesus Christ, that it is rather bringing disunity, bringing controversy, that people doesn't find that it's something for their souls, something that for them, that has important, eternal importance. These false teachers, they were inventing certain tricks and ideas that it was influencing the church, that it was destructive and undermining a clear teaching of the Bible. But what is the treatment against false teaching? How can we know what is the right thing to do? In the time of confusion, Timothy, as it was said, should preach the word of God that has power to confront and dispel false teaching. We need to compare when somebody is telling us and what does the Bible tell us? How does it look in the context of the whole Bible? That is the great truth about the Bible. The more we are spend time with it, the more we are taken with it, and we know how it. We spend the time meditating, listening to sermons, reading biographies. We equip ourselves, and we know that is the truth, and that is false teaching. When we're speaking about the sound doctrine in comparison to the false teaching, we see what is true and what is false. And then Paul's in verse 4, 5, and 6 then tells what is the sound teaching. What is the sound doctrine? Paul gives some hints or some ideas how we can find out what is right and what is false, what is genuine teaching and what is false teaching. The first sign of true teaching is love. If it's a true teaching, if it's a right teaching, then you can see that there is a love among people. It promotes love towards God and towards one another. The Paul is clear about this. If it's a right teaching, the people would love and respect each other. We are called to be moderate, to be tolerant, to bring many ideas together. But actually, if you bring all tolerant to all kind of ideas, then it brings disunity, and you cannot expect a real love among people, that real love towards God, when there is truth and false teaching mixed together. There is a love towards God when you know who He is. And there is a love to one another, then you know that the people are the same as we are and they need God's grace. A real teaching promotes love towards God. And the second sign, Paul writes that the sound doctrine, the second sign is that it comes from a pure heart. It has something with the purity. Purity is an important sign and has a deep biblical meaning. The person who is pure in his heart is the one who knows his God. He's the one who knows the holiness of God. In Matthew 5:8, it says, "Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God." The pure in heart, that they know about their own sinfulness. They know something about cleansing of their sins and forgiveness of God. And they pray and they know that God would clean their life and their heart. And they are aware that as well, from their heart can come some false teaching if they're not cleansed and not forgiven. For Paul, those who are pure in heart are set in contrast to false teachers who are deceivers and who are ensnared by Satan, and they don't know themselves that they are false teachers. And a third sign of a sound doctrine, a third sign that we can ask ourselves what is the right and what is the false, that it comes from a good conscience. The conscience is the judge that tells us what is right and what is wrong. The conscience as well can be misused or it can be adopted to the bad behavior. But when the conscience is transformed by the Word of God, it tells us what is the right thing and what is the wrong thing. When we are left on our own, the conscience tells us whether that action was a right thing to do against our neighbor or not. Our conscience will tell us whether I was right when I'm doing right in maybe my taxes, or maybe about how I am at work, whether I'm faithful and using the time that is given in a right order. A good conscience tells whether this teaching is for God's glory or for my own intention, that to gain praise from people. You cannot see really whether that person, that preacher has a good conscience or not, whether he has a pure heart or not. But that is how we can test ourselves and ask, do I have a pure heart? Do I have a good conscience? If not, then I know how to do it. The Word of God will instruct, and Jesus can forgive me and clean my heart. And the fourth sign that to find out whether this teaching is right or no, it comes from a sincere faith. A sincere, a real, a genuine faith, it's like a plant that was planted by the Word of God, and it is growing. You know that there is the life in it. You know that that is person. Maybe in some things he is wrong, but there's a sincere faith. There's a life in him. It's a new life, and it's growing. And he's going to be instructed, and he will know what is right and wrong. In verse 19, Paul writes, holding on to faith and a good conscience, some have rejected this and so have shipwrecked their faith. Genuine, sincere faith is very important because it just points us towards God. Paul just showing that if there is sincere faith, then there will be a love toward one another. Then there will be a pure heart and a good conscience. And sincere faith, it's growing and it's becoming more mature when it's planted in the Word of God. The problem with false teachers and false teaching is that they departed from sincere faith, good conscience and pure heart. And Jesus tells his disciples, then you'll know them by their fruit. You just see their life. You just see how they talk. You just see how they live. You just see who they are. And you know by their fruit whether they are sincere Christians, whether they have pure heart, whether they have good conscience. Because it is the case that the false teachers are completely ignorant of such things as sincerity, as purity, as love. What they are concerned about is their own status, about their own glory, about to be praised, to be accepted. And when there is no sincere faith, they can twist the Word of God as they want that it will fit into their life. And they would not expect to change themselves. It's very important to have good teachers, those who are founded on the Word of God. Why it is so important? When your house is caught with fire, on fire, and somebody is coming to you in the night and try to tell you what is going on, trying to bring some statistics, how many houses are burning around you, just trying to tell you that your house is burned with fire, but it's not that bad, you have time to get out, saying that it's not that comfortable outside and the weather is not good, you still have chance and you can use it when you want. What do you expect them to tell when there is fire around your house? You expect them one thing, to shout that there is fire and you have to get out of the house. You have to flee to save your soul, to save your life. That's what the preachers should tell us. That our situation before God. That there is a problem. That there is the holiness of God. There's the wrath of God that is coming up towards everyone who is doing sin, and they have to repent themselves, and they have to flee from sin. That they're the ones who see the dangers that is coming for the church, and they have to warn the church. That is the real preacher. That is the true preacher. To tell the real situation in the church. We have to see and to get rid of sin in our lives. A sound doctrine It's essential. It's vital for the church, for the life, for the health of the church. Preaching can lead to the healthy life in the church, and preaching as well can destruct the church. It destroys the church. And biblical teaching as well affects the spiritual life of the people, of God's people. False teaching, it's on the other hand, is destructive. This is why Paul treats it as deadly serious. That is why you have to take attention to it. That is why we have to be involved in it, with it, and to ask who is going to preach, and as well to pray for those who are going to preach. Not just to say, oh, it doesn't matter, at least somebody is there to teach. And if there is something that we just don't understand, we have to confront, we have to ask, and to go deeper, that to guard the truth. Because the vitality of the church depends on it. In order to teach a pure and healthy word of God, Paul tells us that the preacher's qualification have to be as well be tested. That they have to be trained in godliness, in godly living, in faithfulness, in self-control, and many others. We find it in the Bible. So that is the Bible tells us how the preacher should be, how the pastor, how the elder should be. Because the teaching is bound up as well, bound together with the godly living. A bad theology, a bad teaching affects as well their life and vice versa. Those who live in a sin conform their life, conform their theology to their lifestyle. If the teaching is to be pure, the leaders must be pure too. The godly example of the leaders is itself a motivation for the church. When we see their example, when we see their life, that they take the word of God seriously, then the church is motivated too to take it seriously, to follow their example. When the leaders are godly, their leadership dictated by the word of God and not by their own impulses and pride and not by their sinful inclination, then the church would grow. Then you'll see it in the life of the church. At the end, I just want to bring it together and to say, what can we learn from Paul's warning against false teachers and false teaching? First of all, we need to test ourselves, whether our heart is pure, whether we have a good conscience, whether we have a sincere faith, whether we are grounded on the Word of God, whether we know the originals, whether we know that it comes from God. Paul wants the church in Ephesus to take a close attention to it. And we are, who are living in the postmodern time, it's especially true for us to know the originals, to know what is right, what comes from the Bible, what comes from God, and what is not. You cannot treat on the people's head whether they are false teachers or not, because the heresy cripples very slowly into the church. You cannot see it at the beginning, but at the end it does damage. It seems as there is no bad things, as there is no something who is rejecting the divinity of Jesus Christ or resurrection of Jesus Christ, but still it affects the church. How can I know? How can I find it out what is right and what is wrong? How can we distinguish when we are ourselves in the right place? We are confronted in this world with, from all sides, with poisoned information about ourselves, about our self-esteem, about the ones that we can decide. Their life is everything is in our hands. We deserve to be loved. We deserve to make this decision. It sounds good on the first place, but is it true? Or what is behind? Yes, it's appealing. Yes, it's promising. But what is the main motivation? It's meant to rob. It's meant to lie. It's meant to deceive me. False teaching. It speaks greatly about men that to please them and speaks little about God. That not to offend people. But in reality, is completely different. We have to speak greatly about God and to see our real situation and that we are dependent upon Him. We need to realize that we need Him. A sound gospel, a sound doctrine, a sound teaching may sound harsh, but it speaks about our sin. It speaks about forgiveness. It speaks about holiness of God and the wrath of God. And we have to do something about it. It's our real situation. Without realizing the awfulness of sin, we'll not see the need for our Savior, for our Lord Jesus. Yes, the false teaching may present things nicely. It's maybe something like this. The operation went successful, but the patient died. But what does it do to our souls? We need the teaching that does change in our hearts. We need the teaching that opens us to us who we are and what we need. We need the teaching that will point us towards God. We need the teaching that will bring us closer to God and not further away from Him. Amen.